So hello, my name is Brooke, and my story is about how I moved to Maine, not once, but twice. So the story begins in the spring of 1996, and I was 18 years old, and I had graduated from high school a semester early, and I traveled around a little bit with some friends of mine, and then came back to my hometown of Flagstaff, Arizona, which is in the northern part of Arizona in the mountains, and where I had grown up. And I was really bored and kind of just hanging around. Most of my friends were still in school, and I couldn't really find any meaningful work. And I was definitely on the lookout for adventure, I would say. So some friends of my parents called me up and said that they had these two young men, these boys, who were staying at their house. They were going to be there for a few weeks, and they were from Maine. And did I want to come meet them and, you know, show them around town? And yes, I definitely did. But at the time, Maine, I didn't really have any sense of what Maine was about. I had traveled a little bit in this country, and I had been to some other countries, but I had never been to New England, and I'd certainly never been to Maine. And when you grow up in Arizona, Maine is kind of a vague notion. And so, yeah, and so all I knew actually about Maine and New England, and they were kind of like the same thing to me at the time, was Murder, She Wrote, which was, yeah, like my favorite show as a kid, which I later found out was not even actually filmed in Maine, which is disappointing. And then New Kids on the Block, who were from Boston, and all their videos were like Boston kind of. So that's all I knew. That was all I had. So I went over and I met these guys, and they were great, and I liked them a lot, and they made Maine sound cool, and I liked one of them a whole lot. And so, just a few months later, I found myself on a plane and I flew to Maine to spend the summer before I went to college in Camden. And so I landed, you know, Bangor, I went to Camden, and it was really kind of a culture shock for me. And as thinking about this story, I think it's sort of a culture shock on kind of three levels. And the first was definitely the weather, not a surprise to anybody who's ever come to Maine from someplace else. So I was freezing all the time, and you know, like desperately cold, and I just couldn't even understand. It was late June, and it was like, you know, and so I remember I walked into town in Camden, and I bought a calling card, because that's, you know, what you had to do in those days. And I went to the payphone, and I called my mother, and I begged her to send anything wool, like wool hats, wool socks, wool sweaters, you know, because I was just so cold all the time. So she did that, which was nice. And then the second thing about that weather was the fog. Like, I had never encountered fog. And I didn't really know what to make of it, except that it frightened me, and it felt like, you know, every Stephen King kind of, you know, movie. And I actually, I had a job in downtown Camden, and I would walk through this graveyard. It was like a shortcut, and it shaved several minutes off my, but when it was foggy, you know, I was certain that like a hand or something was gonna come up, and so I would I'd sprint through the graveyard and just get to work. So the whole weather thing was a problem for me. And then it was sort of like the people, because I landed there in Camden, and I was sort of with this kind of wealthy group of young people. And they did things like they went to boarding school, which is like not a thing that we do in Arizona. And I thought like that only happened on TV, but they really did do that. And also they would do things like, you know, like take out their parents' sailboat and sail us to these islands, these idyllic, you know, places, and we have these big parties, and, you know, it was great. I mean, I'm not complaining, but I was just totally out of my league by, like, a lot, and I knew that immediately. And then the third bit of it was kind of like the other people, which I would now, I guess now say are like the Mainers or the year-round people, but I didn't know, I didn't have any language for that at the time, and I think maybe the best illustration of this is I would go into like those little shops in downtown Camden, these very sweet little stores, and you know, you walk in and there's like one person running the store, and like they don't say anything to you. You know, like they don't acknowledge that you've just walked in the store. And I, you know, it was very confusing to me. And I spent a lot of time thinking, like, you know, is it me? Like, you know, or is it the fog? Or like what, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what was going on. So yeah, so there I was. So fast forward 4 years, I graduated from college, and I had continued to come back to Camden every summer in between. And I finished school, and I didn't have a job, you know, and I didn't have a plan, which is not like a shock. I had a history degree, so like, you know, there's not a lot to do there. And so my boyfriend, the same one that I had met, you know, in Flagstaff all these years before, he convinced me to take a job on a boat. So yeah, nothing about boats, right? I grew up in Arizona, there are no boats. And this is like a very large boat, a private yacht, and we were gonna crew on this boat, the whole thing, like the love boat outfit and the whole deal. So, you know, the money was good, and we were gonna live for free on this boat, and we were gonna spend the year going up and down the Caribbean, and that all sounded good, and it would have been good, except that our relationship was really like falling apart. And we were kind of at the beginning of what became a year-long, sort of prolonged, awful, messy breakup. So why not go to a place where you have to, you know, work together all day long, every day, and yeah, and live with strangers in very close quarters. Yeah, because although the boat was big, the crew live in a little small spot down below the water. So yeah, it sounded good, but it was not good. But I did it, and we got on this boat, and we left the country, and things, you know, just went downhill immediately, and we were sort of fighting all the time, except there was nowhere to fight, really, so it was like quiet fighting, like when you pass in the hallway, and yeah, it was not good. And I knew almost immediately, like once I got back to the States, I would leave the job and leave this relationship and go back to Flagstaff, which is really where I wanted to be and really was my home. But it was difficult to leave while we were abroad and in this job, and I'd made this commitment and I felt like I should do it. So things are just sort of steadily going downhill. And at some point during that winter, the boat that I was working on, we were in St. Martin in the Caribbean, and a friend who worked on a different boat was also there, and she asked if we wanted to come out and meet her and, you know, go for drinks, which was a thing that we did a lot of those days. And so we went to meet her, and she had brought along a coworker of hers, this guy, and you know, he was nice, and he seemed really interesting, and I spent the night just kind of talking to him and ignoring everyone else, and he seemed like such a kind person. But in the course of our conversation, he says, oh yeah, pretty soon I'm gonna leave the boat thing, and I'm gonna go back to Maine. And I'm gonna build a house, and I'm gonna build a house in Happy Town. And I'm like, it's a good, it was effective, you know, as a pickup line. So, but you know, but at the time I thought, well, not my thing, obviously. I'm never gonna live in Maine again. I'm gonna leave. And so we met, and that was that. And I did go back to the States, and I did leave the job, and I did leave the guy. And I actually left Maine in a somewhat like epic way. I had this 1982 Volvo station wagon. It was red, and I named it Rosie, and I loved this car. But by the time I actually left Camden and started driving to Flagstaff, the back window of the car was smashed out. There was no window at all, so the exhaust was just kind of flowing through the car, and the car was like full of some other woman's like clothes and shoes, which is another story for another time. But I left, you know, I got out, and I went back to Flagstaff. And I got a job working at this kind of locally famous bakery, which was sort of my dream job at the time. It was great. And I had stayed in touch, though, with the guy from the bar, St. Martin, and we had even managed to see each other a few times in between. And he came to Flagstaff to visit, and then he came back, and he didn't leave. And so we lived there together for a bit. And it was a really happy time. But in retrospect, I think, you know, like he was waiting me out, like, because, you know, Happy Town and Maine and the whole thing. And so, you know, in my mind, I thought, oh, I'll never go back to Maine because what a place. Like, it's just, it's a lot. And but anyhow, so a few months after he came to Flagstaff, it was, circumstances came about, we were moving back to Maine, which I could not believe. You know, I really, and I, in preparation for telling the story, because I've always thought, like, how random, like, two men from Maine who I didn't meet in Maine and who didn't know each other. I mean, you know, like, what are the chances? My whole family is Southwest. So I looked it up, and there's about a million people in Maine. And half of them, you know, roughly are men. And if you look then at the number of men in the whole country, 0.001% of men are from Maine. Like, it's random. It is random. It is. Yeah. So there I was, and we were going to move back to Maine, the place I kind of didn't want to be. And so the day that we were set to leave Flagstaff and start our journey in my Volvo, still had Rosie, the car, a couple of things happened that felt pretty symbolic. So the first thing is we had packed our apartment, you know, and everything was packed in the car, just have the last little bits left out to clean up or whatever. But one of the things that was left was the small but effective bong, like the water pipe bong. Yeah, you know. So, because you keep that out at the end if you're packing and you're in your 20s. And right. So we have it, and I go to put it in the car, and I drop it, and it breaks. And if you've ever, you probably haven't, but if you've ever dropped one, it's like the worst kind of glass breaking. Like, it's just millions of shards. It's really, really sharp, and, you know, it's a problem. So, you know, cleaning it up, trying to deal with it, put it in the trash bag, and I pick up the bag to take it to the dumpster, but a piece of the glass had come through the bag, and it like swung into my leg, and it cut this, you know, like inch and a half, 2-inch sort of slice. Yeah, horrible. And it's really bleeding like a lot. And there's nothing in the apartment, right? Because we're just about to leave. We're minutes from leaving. No towels, no Band-Aids. And it's kind of a problem. So I just like wrapped it up with paper towels, and it's this just messy scene, and it's not good. But we get in the car, and we're gonna go. And the other thing that's happening that felt symbolic was the forest around Flagstaff is on fire. And I mean, literally, it is on fire. And, you know, this is, you know, it's like, unfortunately, it's a common occurrence now in the West. But when I was growing up and up until that point, this is a new thing. And it's horrifying, you know. I mean, these flames, huge flames, and these huge black smoke clouds, and it's really scary. And so we're leaving town, and the town is like burning, and I'm bleeding profusely from my leg, and I got the paper towels, and we're going to Maine, you know. So that's how that went. And so we did, in fact, come back, and you know. 15 years later, here I am, still living here, much to my surprise. And there are still things about Maine that I find really challenging, but there are a lot of things that I've come to see through a new light. You know, the weather, especially, I have a whole new take on, because when you live in Maine, you know, year round, the cold and the dark of January is made so much easier by the heat and the light of July, and sort of following that yearly cycle has become very meaningful to me. And then, of course, the people who I struggled for years to understand, many of them have become my dearest friends, including many of those kind of summer kids in Camden have become lifelong friends. And I certainly see the sort of Mainer attitude through a whole new light, sort of a dignified and reserved personality who, you know, in many cases are rightfully so wary of outsiders. Maine has this kind of complicated history, which I had no idea of. And then, you know, most recently, we bought a house here in town that feels like an old house to me. It's not old at all by Maine standards. It's like 50 or 60 years old, but it feels very old to me. And there's so much about it that I love. When you climb the stairs to the second floor of our house, at the top, the banister is all, it's all worn down, you know. And every time I see it, I think about all the families and all the people who have lived in that house and who have sort of climbed those stairs and put their hand there, and I can really feel them being there. There's these particular spots on the floor where it creaks, you know, it's an old house. And I love that. I feel very connected to it. And also, I think the light in Maine, which changes so significantly over the seasons, I've just come to appreciate it in a way that I wouldn't have known had I only come in the summer. And then also, of course, I have a husband and a daughter now who are Mainers, which makes me see things completely differently and through their eyes. And so last summer, I realized early on in the summer that it was my 20th summer in Maine. I had been other places throughout the year, but it was my 20th summer in Maine. And I was 39, so it's more than half my life. And so to kind of honor that or celebrate, I bought this little T-shirt that has a picture of Maine, like the state of Maine, and has the words home on it. And I think this summer, which is my 21st, that feels like that's really true. So thank you.
Thanks.